Okay, so today's daf is Psachim Nun Beis. We're going to start from the bottom of Nun Aleph Amud Beis, the second to last line. Just a brief introduction. When they would sanctify the month, because through seeing the new moon, so the messengers of the Beis Din would go out and they would inform the Beis Din that they saw that the new moon, and therefore it was then they could be Mekadesh the Chodesh. They can sanctify the new moon and the new month. And but in places that were far, as we know, that they couldn't get there, so then they would celebrate Yom Tov of that month for 2 days, because if word couldn't get out to certain communities by the 15th of the month when the Yom Tov was, so they would celebrate it for 2 days. So the Gemara now is going to clarify what's the halacha. You know, would you have to follow different details about situations where people, you know, places where the messengers wouldn't get to, regarding certain minhagim. So Amar Rav Safa the Rabbi Abba could go and honor the Yadina Bikviat the Archa. The Gemara says the halacha is that people like us who live in a place where the messengers get to, so they know when Yom Tov starts, and therefore they're allowed to do malacha on the second day of Yom Tov. But b'yishuv lo avidna. But if I were to come on Yom Tov Sheni to a place where the messengers wouldn't get to, and they, so let's say in my town, messengers got there in time, and I know when Yom Tov is. But if I go to a different place now where the messengers didn't get there, because you need officially messengers, and they have the custom that they're not going to do malacha, so mipnei, I will not do malacha in their place, mipnei shinu hamachlokes, because since that's a place where the people are accustomed to an iser, I'm not going to change their minhag in front of them. But bamidbar mai, but let's say I'm in the desert, I'm not in the city, but I'm going to say outside the city. So what's the halacha? Can I do malacha if it's not in the city? Amalei be hachi amarvami be yishuv aser b'midbar mutter. Yeah, it's only forbidden to do malacha in the city itself, but in the desert, let's say right outside the city, then it's permitted to do malacha.
What's the hava mina here? He's going. It's not yanta for him. So, and if he's going to the midbar, he's already over on tchum and everything else. So what's the whole hava mina here?
I think he wants to say there are certain communities that the custom was that they kept 1 day, and certain communities they kept 2 days. So let's say,
did he know what day it was?
Yeah. So let's say I'm going to.
Why doesn't he just tell them?
Okay, but let's say there's a community that they, because let's say sometimes the messengers come on time, sometimes they don't come on time. Let's say there's a community they decided that our custom is that we're always going to keep 2 days because they sometimes come, they sometimes don't come. So that community's minhag was they kept 2 days. So this person wants to know. So he's going to be there. He's going to be there. He's going to be there. And this is their. You're saying, well, why doesn't it just depend every month if messengers got there or not? Let's just say this is a community that they were not going to come, and therefore they decided for whatever reason that they are keeping 2 days. So now, so what we're saying is that if you're visiting their town, then you would have to. Then you would not be allowed to do malacha in front of them. And however,
but by going to their community, you're doing malacha already.
No, but let's say you get there before Yom Tov. Like now, Ben Eretz Yisrael goes to New York for Yom Tov. Okay,
right.
So there's a difference. So he's got before Yom Tov. Ben Eretz Yisrael goes to New York for before Yom Tov. So he gets to New York. So does he have to keep 1 day or 2 days? So this would seem to indicate that we have to keep 2 days. But if he would be in some town where there's or some in whatever's considered the desert, he's considered some area where there's no one around, then you can keep 1 day. That's what he's saying here. Okay, Rabbi Nasan Bar Asya Azal Mibay Rav the Pumpadisa Yom Tiv Sheni Shalat Sarah. So Nasan Bar Asya went from the house of Rav to Pumpadisa on the second day of Shavuos. So there was more than 2,000 amos, and he violated the rabbinic prohibition of Chil Yom Tov Sheni. So of Yom Tov Sheni, and Shamti Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef put him in excommunication. So Amar Le Abaye Lenagde Mar Nigide, he should give him Malchus Mardus. Amar Le, like rabbinic lashes. Amar Le Adifa Abdile, now it's better that I excommunicated him. That's worse. De Bevama Rava Mimnu Angida, De Be Mar, De Bar Be Rav below Mimnu Ashamta. Because in Eretz Yisrael, they had a custom that when a student went sour, he did something bad. He lost his whatever. He engaged in behavior not becoming a Talmid Chacham. So the Chachamim would gather together to give him lashes, but they wouldn't excommunicate him because excommunication is very severe, and they were concerned about Kavod Torah. So therefore, they only lashed him as a first step. But we see from here that neat excommunication is worse than Marcus Mardus. Yigadamri Nagde Rav Yosef. So they have a different version of the story that Rav Yosef gave him Malchus. So Amar Le Abaye the Shamte, you should put him in Cherem. Mar the Rav Shmuel the Mitavayu, Mendadim Al Shnei Yom Shel Yom Tov Shagalios. We give people, we excommunicate people over Yom Tov Sheni Shagalios. Yeah, that halacha of giving nidoy, that only applies to chil yom tov with a regular person. Yeah, because he's a tavel chacham, so I gave him a lighter sentence because in Eretz Yisrael, when a student did something bad, so they would only give him malchus and they would not give him. They would not excommunicate him, so they gave him a lighter punishment. Kayotzi Bo, similar to this, Hamolich Peroshvi. So let's say, if you carry Peroshvi from a place where there are no more crops in the field, so that's the Zman of Beer. We've spoken about this, that you can't have the crops anymore. You have to destroy them. So if you move them from one place to a different place. So Rabbi Yehuda says that you, it seems that Rabbi Yehuda is saying that if you bring them from a place where they didn't finish, where the crops aren't gone, to a place where they are gone, you don't have to destroy the crops because it's not going to lead to machlokes. Because you could tell the person, you know, bring your crops, you can simply say like that bring your crops to my place and you can eat from my house. It's only the stuff in your house that's forbidden. In other words, apparently who doesn't think that in that case there's no reason to be strict because there it's not going to lead to machlokas. So now we want to know that Rabbi Yehuda not hold regarding this position of nosnim alav chumi amakum shiyatzim misham chumi amakum shiyahalach lisham. Rabbi Yehuda held that again, if you take your crops from a place where there's still crops growing in the fields of shemitah, then you take it to a place where the crops are gone, so you don't have to destroy the crops, and we're not considered machlokes. But does he reject the Mishnah which says that if you go to a place and then a different minhag than your minhag, then you follow the stringencies of both places? Amar Rav Shishi Barei Ravidi Milsach Rishi Kamar Rabbi Yehuda. Yehuda is really speaking about something else. Vachi Kamar. Omi Makom Shalokanu Kalu Lamakom Shalokalu Vishama Shekalu Bimkomu Chayev Lavayer. He says that if someone brings fruits from a place that the crops are not gone to a place where the crops are not gone, and then you heard that the crops were gone in the first place, right? I'm going from America and I'm going to Canada, and I know that my place in America, the crops, they're still growing, and then I come to Canada And then when I get to Canada, I heard that in the States, the crops are now no longer in the fields. So Chayv Lavara, then I would have to destroy it because that's the minog of where I came from. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Tseva Velechata Afata Mehecha Deis Sanhu, Baha Lo Kaluhu. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, that I don't have to destroy it if I'm in Canada now because I can say to my American friends that I'm not changing your customs because I brought them to Canada. And you could also bring them from the United States to Canada. And in Canada, the crops are still growing there. And therefore, I don't have to destroy it. So it sort of rereads what this what the Mishnah says. So the Gemara says, are you telling me Rabbi Yehuda is being lenient here? The Ha Amar Rabbi Eliezer, but doesn't Rabbi Eliezer say, Rabbi Eliezer say, Lo Mar Yehuda El Lachumra? Isn't he strict? Ela Epoch, rather, okay, fine, make it the opposite. Edechai Levire. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Seva Ve Lacha Afata Mehechada Aisinhu, Vaha Kalaluhu. So rather what? Say the Tanakhama says in this same case that you don't have to destroy because in both places, because when you left the States, it was low kalu, the crops are still there. And when you got to Canada, the crops are still there. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you have to destroy because even though where you are now, the crops are still there, since you heard that in America the crops are gone, so they can tell you, go and bring your crops from the place where you brought your fruits, and they're gone, and they're no longer in the field, so therefore you'd have to destroy it. Abaye of Abaye says, Lo'olam kidiktali. No, really, it's you don't have to say the Mishnah is talking about where you brought it from your place to the same type of place, from place where the crops are still growing to the place where the crops are still growing. But really, you brought it to a different place, and this is what Tadakama is saying. Omi makom shalokalu, makom shakalu. That if you bring it from a place that didn't finish, the crops are not gone, to a place where they are gone, then you have to destroy it. And if you brought it from a place where they are not gone to a place where they are gone, and then you bring them back to the first place, and the crops are still there in the fields. In Chayv Levara, you don't have to destroy it. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda would say, no, you have to destroy it. Why? Because he would say, go and bring the crops from the place where you came. In other words, you went from America to Canada, back to America. And so America... In America, the crops are still there. You brought to Canada, there are no more crops, and then you go back to America. So even when you go back to America, Rabbi Yehuda says, yeah, but go back to the place where you just came from Canada, and since the crops are gone, so you went to a place where the crops are gone. At that point, there's an obligation to destroy your crops. Maskel Ravashi, Rabbi Yehuda, Ravashi asks, according to the Rabbi Yehuda, who says you have to destroy the crops when you bring them to a place, to a place where the crops are gone, atu agava de chamor kolti. You know what? On the back of the donkey that you brought them into this place, now all of a sudden you have to follow those stringencies. Is that really true? The crops didn't grow there. You're not eating them there because you passed by. So all of a sudden now you have to destroy the crops. So he doesn't think that's a reasonable position. Elamaravashi biflukes the hari tadai. So really, Tanakam Rabbi Yehuda are arguing regarding the debate of the following Tanakh, did not. Because we're in the Mishnah. Hakove Shlosha Kavashim. Let's say you place three greens for a long time in vinegar or brine, the Chavis Achas, in one barrel. And let's say the time of Biur, the time when they're supposed to be destroyed, when there are no more crops on the fields, is different for each of these. You're allowed to eat from them only regarding the time of the first one. Like in other words, let's say there are three different types of vegetables. So whenever you can only eat any of them from as long as all three of them basically are still in the fields. Once one of them is no longer in the fields, then you cannot eat any of them. Shomer af al achron. He says, no, you're allowed to eat if all three are in one barrel, as long as one of these three crops is still in the fields, you can eat these three crops that's in the barrel, that are in the barrel. Rav Gamliel omer kol shekolo mino min hasadeh yevar mino min hachaves. He says, very simple. Depends on each one. If this particular vegetable is still growing, you can eat it. If this vegetable is no longer growing, then you cannot eat it. The halacha kidvar, the halacha is like Rabban Gamliel. Ravina Amar, and Ravina says that the Tanakam Rav Yehuda argue bepluks at the Hare Tanai, that Tanakam Rav Yehuda argue in our Mishnah regarding the following Tanai. I'm sorry. So what does that have to do with? Our debate here? So the Tanakama who says that if you go to a place shalokalu lemakom shakalu chayav levarer, he holds like Rabbi Yoshua that basically you can rely that basically if you take, in other words, he's saying that what if you take a whole bunch of pickled you know, vegetables together to a place that's, you know, where lo kalu, to a place where everything was finished, then you have to destroy it. But if only some of it, then you don't have to. So in other words, he seems to take the view that if you go from a place, shelo kalu, lamakom shekalu, you have to destroy it. That's Rabbi Yeshua, that when everything is destroyed, then you no longer then you can't eat anything anymore. And Rabbi Yehuda holds the Rabban Gamliel, where he said, "Save avei l'cha'ata min asode," means he said, "No, go out to the fields. If that crop is still there, and you find it, then good. Then you can eat it. And if not, not." So that he wants to tie in the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda to this very Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So Ravina wants to say that b'plus d'hari tonight, that really Rabbi Yehuda and Tanakama Rabbi Yehuda debate regarding the argument of these the following Tanaim. The Tanya, because we learned the Braisa, Ochli bitzmarim ad sheyichla achron shebetzoar. We can eat the Shemitah dates even when there are no more dates in the field until the last date is growing in Tzoar, the city where there are a lot of dates. Rav Shmuel says, Ochlin al shel bein hakifin. You can eat from them. You don't need to destroy them as long as there's some dates that are found among the palm trees that have been, fallen from the wind. But there's still some dates that are left. Veid ochlim al bein hashitzim. But you can eat if there are some dates that are still between the thorns that are growing around the deco, around the palm tree. In other words, as long as there are dates among the leaves, so that's considered that they're around for the wild animals in the field. And that means that they're still around and you don't have to destroy the Shemitah produce. And you can eat the dates in the house. But if in the field there are only dates left between the thorns, so then the wild animals cannot take them because of the thorns, therefore you have to destroy get rid of the tamarim in the house. So that's also a way to explain the Mishnah. The Tanakama holds that kalu haperos minasada, when there are no more fruits in the field, you have to destroy it. So that means that they're completely gone. But if there still are fruits between the thorns, you don't have to destroy it. But Yehuda is strict, and he holds like a Shimon Gamliel, who says, that's what he said, save avelecha apata, go and bring it to you. So it's only if you can take it. So if they're only found between the thorns and you cannot take it, so therefore you'd have to destroy the crops. Therefore you have to destroy the crops that are in your house. Okay, so now we've been explaining that the Shemitah fruits that are gone in one place and not gone in another place, you have to destroy it only in the place where there are no more crops in the field. The Gemara is now going to bring the details of this distinction here. What's considered in one place, right? Tanan Hasab, Shalosh Aratos LaBir. There are three areas when it comes to beer. When it comes to that there are no more crops left in the fields. In which case, you have to destroy the crops that are that produce that's in your house. So there's Yehuda, the Eva Yarden, the Galil. So there's Yehuda, the south, Eva Yarden, the eastern side of the Jordan River, and the Galil. The Galil is up north. The Shalosh Aratzos Bechalasas Vachas, and each one of these three lands, there are also three different types of place regarding when there are no more crops. The mountain, the valley, and the lowland, the Shkela. So the Mishnah is going to ask, "V'lama amru shalosh aratzos lebir." So, regarding what halacha do they say there are only three lands for the bir? If you say there are three lands, and in each of these lands there are three different types of terrain, so that you have a total of nine lands. So why are you saying there are three lands? So we're saying shiyu ochlim cholachas va'achas ad shiyich le'ha'achon shabbat. Meaning what? That you can eat in each of these three lands, and there's Yehuda, Eva Yarder, and the Galil, until the last type of terrain, until there are no more crops in the last type of terrain. In other words, it's all considered one. Even though there are three different types of land in each of these territories, you have the mountainous areas, you have the lowlands, you have the valley, doesn't make a difference as long as there are crops growing in one of these areas in Yehuda. So then you can still keep the crops in your house, and it's not the Zman Biur. Now, the Gemara wants to clarify the source of this halacha. Minani, really, what's the source for this? Amar Chava Baruch, Amar Yossi, Bar Chanina, Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, "Believe Hem Techa V'Lachaya Asher Baritzecha," and for your animals, your domesticated wild animals that are in your land, Kol Zman Shechayo Chelas Minasana, as long as the wild animal is eating from the field, Ha'achel, you're allowed to eat, feed the behemoth shebavayis to the animal in the house. Kola lechaya shebesadeh. If it's no longer in the if basically no longer in the fields, in the if there are no longer, sorry, hold on a second. Okay, if there are no longer crops. You know, for your animals in the fields. So you have to get rid of it, even for the crops that you brought in for your animals that are in the house. And we have a tradition: the ein chaya shebihu the gadela peros shebegalil. So that a wild animal that's in Eretz Yehuda is not will not eat. Peros of in the Galil, and ve'en chaya shebegalil gdela peros shebehuda, but in the same area, you can go from place to place. In other words, a wild animal won't go from the Galil to Yehuda, or Yehuda to the Galil, but within that land it will go. So in other words, if a wild animal is in the Har, it will go to the Shvela within the Galil, or from the Shvela to the Har, from the Har to the Emek. So therefore, there are only three areas, even though there are different types of terrain within each area. Tad Rabbanan, Perosh Yatzu Meretz Yisrael Lechutz La'aretz. So let's say Shemitah fruits that left Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz. Mispa Arin. So when they're no longer around to the wild animal, b'chol makom shehein. So you basically have to destroy right, we don't tell them that they come back to their land to destroy it there. That is, wherever they are, they have to destroy the crops. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar omer yachzul makom, you have to bring them back to Eretz Yisrael. Bisparu mishum shenamar. No, the pasuk says that you have to destroy. By the way, it's not only destroying; it's beer. You have to get rid of it. You can also be mafker. You can also just make it hefker. You have to do it where be'artzecha in Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara asks, "Ha afikte?" But didn't you already darsh in this pasuk that asher be'artzecha doesn't mean you have to go to Eretz Yisrael? That means that it's only referring to the crops in your land. That, in other words, that in Eretz Yehuda, you only have to you know, be mavar, destroy the crops that are in Yehuda, in the Galil or in Yehuda. Isn't that what that pasuk comes to tell you? So kari be ba'aretz ba'aretzecha. So we read it, we have two drashos, because it could have just said ba'aretz, v'chai asher ba'aretz. What does it say ba'aretzecha? So you have two drashos. Inami me asher ba'aretzecha, the word asher. So we have a drasha that number one is, you have to return it to Eretz Yisrael, and also the three different areas, three different locations. Sorry, Rav Safra, Nafak, Eretz Yisrael, Chutz La'aretz. Rav Safra went out from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz. Hava Bade Garva Dechamer Deshvis. He had with him a measure of wine of Shemitah. Lavu Bahade, Rav Huna Bered Rav Ika Rav Kahana. So Rav Huna Bered Rav Ika Rav Kahana, students of Rav Yibohu, joined together. Amar joined with him. Amar Lahu, he said to them, Ika Deshmiya Le Mineh Rav Yibohu. Is one of you heard from Rabbi Abba, Halakha of Shimon ben Elazar, is the Halakha of Shimon ben Elazar or not? Amar Le Rav Kahana, Halakha Rabbi Abba, Rav Kahana said to Rav Safra, this is what Rabbi Abba said, Halakha of Shimon ben Elazar, Rabbi Elazar, Halakha of Shimon ben Elazar, that you have to return the crops to Eretz Yisrael. Amar Le Rav Huda, Rav Ika, Halakha of Rabbi Abba, this is what Rabbi Abba said, ain't Halakha of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Halakha is not like Shimon ben Elazar. Amar Rav Safra, Nakoda Klola, the Rav Huda Bidach, Rav Safra said, take this klal of Rav Huda in your hand, that the Dayik, the Gamar, Shmaita, Mipume, the Rabba, the Rav Huda was medactic, and he was very precise in his teaching, Ki Rechava, the Pumpadisa, just like Rechava from the town of Pumpadisa, Dama Rechava, Rav Huda, Har Habayas, Stav, Kaful Haya, Stav, Lifnimi, Stav. And he said in Har Habayas, there were two different types of benches that were one inside the other. And he was very precise, say, Stav, Kaful Haya instead of Itzdava. So he was very precise. So he wanted to say that if there's a debate as to who heard correctly, go with Rav Huda. So Kara Le Rav Yosef. Yosef referred to Rav Safra about this pasuk. Ami be'etzo yishal umaklo yagid lo. So he wants to say the word maklo for the lation of kula, a leniency. Kol ha-mikalo, anyone who says something to be lenient, magid lo. And anyone who wants to say something to be leading, Magilo, he tells him, and he relies on it. If he wants to say like a, because he was lenient, because he allowed him to be mavar the wine in Chutz La'aretz, and he didn't require him to return back to Eretz Yisrael. So he's Makabel, he accepts his leniency because he's, because we rely on his opinion. So now the Gemara wants to clarify, from what what's considered the amount, what's the shear of dates and other fruits to which certain rules apply, like how much do they have to grow for some of the halachos to apply? So Rav Eloi cuts kaf miyasa deshvis. So, Rav Eloi cut a branch of there were these small dates of Shemitah dates that were not ripened yet. So he cut them because he wanted to use them, I guess. So what did he do? He wanted to use them. He cut them off, and so now because of that, he's causing a loss to these small dates. They're not going to become ripened because he cut them off before they became ripe. The Gemara asks, "Hey, how can you do that?" The pasuk says, "La'achla v'rachmana v'lehefse." There's a halacha that you're not allowed to ruin the shemitah. The shemitah fruit have certain kedusha. You know, they talk about, for example, you know, let's say you have shemitah wine. So there's like a custom that some people have that when for havdalah, what do? They overpour. They make the wine spill over. So they have a shaila. If you have shemitah wine, you're allowed to do that. You're causing a loss because you're spilling the wine. You're not allowed to destroy shemitah crops. So are you doing that when you are cutting these unripened small dates? Maybe it's not it's not ripe enough for it to be considered for it to be subject to this prohibition. Maybe you'll say, that this prohibition to destroy fruit, if Shemitah only applies with fruit that is fully ripe, then it's a pri. But if it's not fully ripe, then lo, then there's no prohibition to cause it loss. From Rav Nachman or Rav Barvua, Hari Matchale. He says, wait a second, these different peels that grow around the dates, the small dates, the orla, that grow within 3 years, asira, you can't derive benefit from them. Hovanasu shomer lepere, since they're like shells or they're peels for the fruit, they protect the dates, so therefore they're subject to the prohibition of orla. The shomer lepere bas hava, when do they become a shomer? When do they protect the dates? Bikufre, when they're very small. So v'kakarilu peri, they're still called peri, they're still called fruits. So if they're called fruits when it comes to orla, then therefore they're subject to the rules of orla, so shouldn't they also be subject to the, shouldn't these small fruits be subject to the rules of Shemitah? So how could you cut them off and therefore cause them loss? So the Gemara answers, Rav Nachman de Amar ki Rabbi Yossi. Rav Nachman must hold, like Rabbi Yossi, nan, Rabbi Yossi omer smadar asur mipnei shehu perei. That Rabbi Yossi says that the smadar, these are fruits that appear like grapes immediately after, I guess, the flower of the vine falls off. That's considered orla because it's peire. That's already has the status of fruit. It's called a pri. But the rabbanon argue on this, and they hold that a smadar, this, you know, small grape, there's no prohibition of hana when it comes to orla. So this halacha that Rav Nachman cited is only according to Rabbi Yossi, but the rabbanon hold that such a small unripened fruit is not called a pri, and since it's not called a pri, it would neither be subject to orla, and the same thing would apply to Shemitah. Okay, let's